little bit of this before I start talking. So, I have a little problem. When I speak, I typically speak very fast. And so in the car on the way here, Pam was reminding me, just don't talk too fast, slow down. And I can't help it, but when I heard her say slow down, I had to think of the taxi episode, and bear with me if you know what I'm talking about, the taxi episode where Reverend Jim is trying to get his driver's license, and he needs to get it renewed before he can obviously take the taxis out. Well, the whole crowd is waiting behind there, waiting for him to get his to take his test. And he gets to one spot of the test. Reverend Jim, if you remember, is the drug-addled guy who never knows which end is up. And so he is saying, he's reading his test, and he's writing his answers, and he gets to one, he says, he looks at his buddies, his friends, what does a yellow light mean? And his friends say, slow down. What does a yellow light mean? Slow down. What does... So you get the... Anyway, I couldn't help but think of that when Pam told me to slow down. When Rob sent a message out recently and asked for volunteers to do the lesson series on Sunday evenings in Philippians, I saw Philippians 2, beginning of Philippians 2, and I could not help but say, yeah, that's the one I want. Part of the reason for that, some of you may know that I sang with a group called His Servants for over 20 years. And this is a gospel quartet, sang in the Austin area, but throughout Texas and Louisiana. Debbie Pennock's oldest brother, Kent Singleton, and I were together in His Servants for all those many, many years. We had a wonderful time singing and encouraging each other and going all over, just doing our thing, what God put in our hearts to sing. During the time we were together, we recorded several albums, some of which, the songs that we included on those albums were what you might call covers today, other songs that other people had written, and we just did our own version of them. But some of them, we actually wrote, not we, I'm not going to take credit for that, but some of our members wrote, most specifically Melissa Belusic. We also had a chance to record an entire album of songs by Holland Boring Sr. If you remember, Holland Boring was one of those instrumental in starting up the Hensel Singing Camp. And so we just had a great honor in doing many, many things over the years. But Melissa Belusic, who is a longtime member at originally Round Rock Church of Christ and now is over at Pond Springs, she wrote a song, and the catchy title is Philippians 2, 6 through 11. We always wondered, Melissa, why didn't you write some other more catchy title for the song? She said, no, it speaks for itself, and she's right. Well, if you know me, you know that I'm not shy about standing in front of an audience singing or teaching on something that I'm really familiar with. I was a teacher in not schools, but I did teaching for the business that I work in. And as a matter of fact, I did do a little bit of teaching in schools for Round Rock Community Schools quite a number of years ago, teaching basic computer. So there are some things that I don't mind standing up in front of an audience about, but this is not one of them. This is out of my wheelhouse, so to speak. So bear with me if you will. When I saw the scripture sets that as I mentioned before, that Rob had set aside for us to be picking and saying, you know, I want to do that one, Philippians 2 was the one that I chose. I want to tell you a little bit of a story first before we get into the lesson. Last week, I was on an extended trip in Topeka, Kansas. Started on Thursday two weeks ago and extended through Friday. I just got home this past Friday. And when I go on trips like that, I've had to do several of those. When I go on trips like that, I try, if we're free and we're not trying to help balance the bank on a Sunday morning. If we're free, I'll try and go to a local church. Well, the criteria for going to for finding a church is typically looking up a, on the website and finding one close by. This morning, Sunday morning, a week ago, I was using a criteria that's a little bit different than that. We were all going out to breakfast together. There were eight of us on this trip together, and we were all going to go to breakfast. And I decided, well, we're going to breakfast at 9:30. I'm going to see if I can find a service around 11 o'clock or something like that, and that's how I'll choose which to go to. Well, we were in Topeka, Kansas, which is a nicely sized area, and they had quite a few churches of Christ, and there was one at 10:45. And I said, bingo, that's where I'm going. Well, I was a little bit in the minority when I walked in the doors of the East Side Church of Christ in Topeka, Kansas. Beautiful people, wonderfully welcoming, but I was a little bit out of my element. I'm not a, the way I look at it is this. If you remember the difference between what our song service is like and what we heard when East Side Chorus came here a year ago at our homecoming, and they sang for us that afternoon, that's what I heard last Sunday morning. The soulful singing, the beautiful, there was more, I don't know of another way to put it, but more spirit in them as they were doing everything they do in their service than is my comfort zone. But I loved it. And not only was I inspired by the enthusiasm and the love that they were showing for Christ as they had their worship, but I was also inspired by the gentleman who spoke. They were celebrating the one-year anniversary of the preacher who had just come to them a year before. And the youth minister, who actually is just a part-time youth minister, he's a banker by nature, he decided, well, I'm going to give you a break. You sit down, I'm going to preach. Well, he preached on Mark 10, and he preached on being a servant. And that's exactly the servant element that we're going to be looking at tonight in Philippians. So I was doubly blessed by not only being there and having a wonderful worship together, but blessed as well with getting some inspiration from what Hollister was able to tell and bring to the congregation there last Sunday morning. So, I guess the first thing I want to do is read the scripture that we've been set for this evening, which is Philippians 2, 1 through 1 through 13. And I'm not sure if you're able to display that set of slides, Bruce. Can you get to those? Okay. Philippians 2, I'll just read it through it. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Thank you. And if you would, can you cue up and play the song now? This is the song I was referring to a few moments ago.
I want to be like Jesus, who in the nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus.
Thank you. So you'll notice that the song is very faithful to the scriptures. Melissa did that on purpose, and that's the reason why she thought there was no other title needed. She wanted to leave it titled as Philippians 2, 6 through 11. So that particular song did mean a lot to us, and there have been several times that I've heard that this scripture be talked about, be preached on and whatnot, and every time I'm thinking, oh wow, we had that song. And so I was encouraged when had that opportunity to be here with you this evening to let you have a listen to that and enjoy it like I do. So with that in mind, one of the first things you may notice about this particular set of scriptures is the fact that the first five sentences are just that. They're sentences, but they're not the poetry. If you go, when you look in if your Bible and hopefully the if you have it on your electronic device or whatever, you'll notice that the first five, like I said, are just sentence structures. But when it gets to verse 6, it's written like a poem. It's written like stanzas in a song. And so it's interesting to me that that's the intent of Paul as he was writing this. He separated what was said in the first five verses with what he wrote in the next eight after that. Notice too, to me, I always, when I see this word, I always say, wait a minute, that means something else. When I see the word therefore as the very first word in Philippians 2, I'm thinking, wait, that means he was just saying something before. So let's step back just a quick bit and look at what he was saying in chapter 1. He was talking about the struggles that these Philippians had gone through. And he praised them, though, not only for going through the struggles they were going through, but for being encouragers to him in their partnership in the gospel with him. So then chapter 2 itself begins with a statement. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So I take from that particular statement, not only are we united with Christ, we are to be like-minded in our tenderness, our love, and our compassion as Christ is. Then Paul goes on to say that we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. To me, this is saying that regardless of whether I've done something I'm proud of or that someone praises me for, my attitude should be that of humility. The famous author and professor C.S. Lewis wrote, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." Just this morning in our class, Linda Benskin quoted that in our discussion this morning. That, to me, that's hard. You know, thinking less of yourself is one thing, but thinking of yourself less is something totally different, and it's a totally different effort to, you know, involved. Thinking of yourself less is totally different than just thinking less of yourself. So it's a hard thing to grasp, but I think it's interesting that as what we've read here, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, Paul is talking to us about that, and then C.S. Lewis, you know, many decades or hundreds of years later, is saying in essence the same thing by, don't just think of yourself less, think less of yourself. Another good quote from C.S. Lewis is, as long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. Of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Mentioned class just a few moments ago. I really appreciate the class that we've been involved in for the last several weeks that Howard Kirk is teaching, where we've gotten into the one another scriptures. There's 59 one another scriptures, and this is one of them. This particular scripture we're talking about this evening is one of them. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, which reminds us to think of Jesus while we are interacting or relating to each other. That's something to me that's totally different and outside my comfort zone. I go about my normal day and I interact with people all the time. I may think later on about, I should have said something differently, or I wish we had had the chance to get further into something, but I'm not. What I realize is that I'm not taking the time during my conversations with people to ask myself if I am being Jesus, if I am having the mindset of Jesus while I'm having those conversations. To me, that's the bigger challenge, is to try and do that while I'm actually having those interactions. Okay. That's the verses 1 through 5, those sentences I was talking about. But then we get in to verse 6, which is the poetry that I mentioned. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love the part where Paul says, Christ did not consider equality with God something to be used. Think about it. Equality with God was his normal state. That Jesus was God in the Trinity. Jesus is God. So considering equality with God was not something that he would use in his everyday life, because that was normal for him. But then, he also did not use it as a pride point, nor was it a stepping stone. it simply was his self. And he takes the nature of a servant, or some translations would say slave. So from the highest beginning to what? Being like me? That's quite a drop. Amazing. And humbling himself to the point of death, and even on a cross, no less. The most excruciating, painful, and drawn-out form of capital punishment they had at the time. And he died on a cross. So it's not surprising then that after that, God exalted Jesus Christ and gave him a name that is above every name, and a place that everyone would bow down to and acknowledge there at his own right hand. Paul closes out this particular passage with this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." This is a reminder to me that even though we have assurance through God's grace and Jesus' sacrifice, we are still to work out our salvation. I take that to mean that I have the presence of God in me, helping me to do his good will while I'm working in his salvation. I mentioned earlier about the worship service in Topeka. The scripture they used was Mark 10:42-45, and I'll read that now. "Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" That strikes me. Did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus not only spoke about humility, he demonstrated humility more perfectly than any human being has ever done. When Paul said, "being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross," the very one who is King of glory, the one who made the universe, was willing to humble himself and become a man. And not only that, he died on the cross in order to save us from our sins. If we say we follow Jesus, let's aim to be like him, humbly serving others, even when we do not get recognition for our efforts, even when it involves sacrifice. Truly humble people compare themselves only with Christ. They know they are unworthy sinners and recognize their weaknesses and their limitations. How about we turn that around just a little bit? We know we are unworthy sinners and recognize our weaknesses and our limitations. Or even better, I know I am an unworthy sinner and recognize my weakness and my limitations. But at the same time, I know that I am redeemed, I am accepted, and I am saved, and I belong to Jesus. We recognize our gifts and our strengths, and we're willing to use those gifts as the Lord leads. Humility is not groveling and self-abasement. Self-abasement is a word that means just putting ourselves down, just really putting ourselves down. And that's not what humility is at all. It is accepting one's gifts and being willing to use them in serving others. I want to be like Jesus, the young. The ending to the song repeats that line twice, actually three times. The song that we'd heard before repeats those words, "I want to be like Jesus." All right. If there is anyone who is wanting to be more like Jesus, would like to respond, we're going to sing a song now, and that would be the time for you to do so. We're going to...